Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony. It was a calm night in Baltimore.
Let's go home.
Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings at the start of the curfew.
Let's go home.
And it appears most did go home, but things got rowdier in other cities as the protests spread.
We're going to start taking the streets. We're taking back what's ours.
She's in New York City where police arrested about 100 protesters. 9 were taken into custody in Denver as cops used pepper spray on demonstrators. We're learning something new in the investigation into Freddie Gray's much-protested death in Baltimore. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland has the update live.
A new report suggests a 25-year-old may have been trying to hurt himself in a Baltimore police van. The Washington Post reports a prisoner in the van with Gray heard him banging against the walls of the vehicle. Gray's family denies he was trying to injure himself. Questions will continue to linger as Police Captain Eric Kalitzi says a preliminary police report will be finished tomorrow and they will
turn over all of our findings, all of our investigative efforts to the state's attorney's office.
It will not be made public, Dave.
Rachel, 5 days after the earthquake in Nepal, a teenager found buried alive in the rubble of a collapsed 7-story building.
I told him that we are rescuer, we are armed police force, and just stay and be calm. We'll rescue you.
But it wasn't easy. That rescuer in Kathmandu says it took 5 hours, and then cheers as the 18-year-old, dusty and dazed, was taken away on a stretcher. That quake has killed at least 5,500 others. About 10,000 have been injured, and the casualty count is expected to rise. A deadly shark attack in Hawaii. A 65-year-old woman was pulled unresponsive from the water, found by snorkelers near a popular Maui surfing spot with a big bite injury on her torso, putting others on edge.
We're not going in the water.
We're staying out.
Maui officials did close local waters to swimmers right after. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
What do half the Fortune 500 companies all have in common? They choose Regis to quickly and easily take the hassle out of finding office space. Regis provides offices, technology, and support staff for companies large and small, so they get up and running fast. Customized solutions from short-term to long-term, all on your terms. And with Regis managing the details, you're free to do your best work. So when you're ready to take your business to the next level, Regis is there. Regis, the new way to work. Call 1-800-OFFICES now.
Mother's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Go to proflowers.com and enter the secret code 1919. But hurry, this deal expires this Friday. 100 colorful blooms for mom, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for 7 days for only $19.99, plus a free glass vase. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 1919.
Sentenced in Pakistan, 10 men who were accomplices in the Taliban's attack on a schoolgirl who has now become famous around the world. Fox News Radio's Simon Owen live in our European bureau.
Dave, the men receiving 25 years each for their part in the attack on Malala Yousafzai, who was 14 when she survived being shot in the head by a Pakistani Taliban assassin as she rode her school bus. She was targeted after campaigning for girls' education. These are the first convictions, but officials say this group was really only involved in planning the attack. The 4 or 5 men who carried it out are still on the run. Malala now lives here in Britain after repeated threats to her life. She won the Nobel Peace Prize last year. Dave.
Simon, a former commander of U.S. nuclear forces, is calling on the U.S. and Russia to put their nuclear missiles off of high alert, arguing keeping them less ready for prompt launch would reduce the risk of miscalculation and could also keep the possibility of a cyber attack away from starting a nuclear war. As the Senate considers legislation that would give Congress the chance to reject any nuclear deal with Iran, Iran continues to make its case.
If the U.S. and 5 other nations come to terms with Iran this summer to limit that country's nuclear capabilities, the agreement will be submitted quickly for broader international approval.
If we have an agreement on the 30th of June, within a few days after that, we will have a resolution in the Security Council.
Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif saying so at New York University and responding to critics of a preliminary deal who want sanctions to be snapped back in place if Iran violates it.
They should be worried about U.S. violating its obligation and us snapping back.
Javad Zarif also met Secretary of State John Kerry this week. In New York, Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
In the NBA playoffs, the Memphis Grizzlies have knocked out the Portland Trailblazers in 5 games. Atlanta took a 3-2 lead on Brooklyn. I'm Dave.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education, and the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Good morning and welcome back to the program, 1180 WFYL. It's a new day with Mike Levitz here. You can call in at 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-TALK or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. I can't even. We have so much happening in the news. We were just talking about the Supreme Court discussing arguments on homosexual marriage and reading different quotes from the Supreme Court justices themselves. And of course, we have the new developments with Freddie Gray in Baltimore. Now, protests are spreading across the country in New York from coast to coast. And of course, the new development, Freddie Gray, being that he apparently, according to a prisoner who was in the van with him, it appeared to be trying to harm himself again, and I will read the quote, because that's always the place to get it. He reportedly said he heard Gray, quote, banging himself against the walls and believed he was, quote, intentionally trying to injure himself. Never a dull moment in this line of work, but in studio right now, we have another issue. We're going to shift gears a little bit here, but it's one that deserves a light shined on it. We have in studio with us a number of different people. We've got a full crowd this morning. We've got Bob Dick from the Commonwealth Foundation. We have Mary Tebow. We have Rob Reeves with us as well. And lady named Serena, very nice to have you all in this morning. And Rob, I want to start with you. Rob is Rob Reeves Jr. He's the owner and president of E. Allen Reeves, Inc. It's a merit shop construction firm based out of Abington, PA. It serves private institutional clients throughout the Mid-Atlantic region. Outside the office, he's involved in over a dozen nonprofit organizations as an active board member for many of them. He has three grown children, all of whom work for E. Allen Reeves, Inc. The fourth generation of Reeves family involvement, Rob has witnessed, and this is our topic, union intimidation, firsthand, for over 40 years. Most recently at the new Chestnut Hill Friends meeting that was vandalized by members of the local Iron Workers Union in December 2012. Rob, thank you so much for joining us on the air this morning.
Good morning. Welcome to be here.
Rob, could you just go ahead and tell us what happened with the local Iron Workers Union in December 2012?
Well, at that time, we had about four or five business agents who had visited the site prior to the incident. This was the Friday before Christmas in December 12. And the Monday before the incident, a gentleman from the Iron Workers came on site and wanted to know who was doing the steel work and was not given much time of day. We don't allow visitors on the site, and he left the site and said, I got to do what I got to do. That the next Friday, the crane on the project was burned, and in about 12 different locations, the anchor bolts and steel columns were cut with acetylene torches.
Now, and this is an what was the reaction? Because because someone could have gotten killed with all of that vandalism. There could have been a piece of equipment that broke. I mean, it's a construction site. It's a dangerous place to be to start off with.
Right. It was pretty obvious that Friday morning that there was damage. You could see the crane was burned. So pretty obvious to us. The half the steel structure was up at the time. Our guys called me. I was on site within an hour, and the police were there and started an investigation.
Now, what was the reaction within the construction community? The iron workers actually were convicted for what they did. They were charged for a crime, and they were convicted. Again, this happened in 2012. What was the reaction among the construction community?
Well, 11 of them pleaded guilty. One went to trial and was convicted. Well, for open shop or merit shop contractors such as ourselves, it was a horrible situation, but not one that we haven't seen for the 40 years that I've been in the business. Many, many of my competitors, both as general contractors, subcontractors, developers, as Serena, have had these problems through the years. So it was part of the culture of Philadelphia. It was amazing that they would damage a church, let alone a Quaker meeting. The Quakers are very nonviolent, peace-loving people that one would not expect that damage to occur against.
Serena, tell me a little bit about your experience with this and the company that you're with and how you've seen union intimidation firsthand.
Well, our first interaction with the trade unions, where it really impacted the progress of a construction site, was in March of 2011. We were doing a larger project. It was in Center City, Philadelphia. It was called the Gold Tex Project. We were bidding it with a mixture of union and non-union contractors, which we had done before. We had four union contractors actively working on the site at the time. We were getting increased pressures to commit from the Building Trades Council to commit to 100% union on the site. Around that time, we had a carpentry contractor come in to build a model unit for leasing purposes, and that contractor was working also with those union contractors on the site, and the four union contractors walked off the site. The Building Trades Council increased their resolve and said that they would do anything in their power to stop our job if we didn't commit to 100% union contractors. Shortly thereafter, an all-out assault, very violent protests ensued on the site, anywhere from 60 to 250 protesters a day came to the site, and it was violent every day.
When you say violent, and again, these are protesters. So
they're protesters. But, you know, so they're arm in arm, linked at the site entrances. They throw elbows, they throw punches. We had incidents where our contractors, our security guards were chased with crowbars, hit with crowbars. We had one incident where a contractor was entering the site between a fence and a stone wall, and he was repeatedly crushed as he was screaming and yelling, falling to the ground until he fell. He was taunted and laughed at. We have that on video. No one was prosecuted for that. The police came. They received, two of the men received community service and $250 in fines, but that was it.
And let me say, both Serena and Rob, you're both very brave for coming in here and talking about this with us this morning, because and this is, in my mind, no amount of legislation or even a police force, unfortunately. I just kind of elaborate on my history, and we got to talk a little bit before we went on the air. I'm from two parents who were both born and raised in New York. My dad was born and raised in Queens. My mom was born and raised in Central New York. I was born in New Jersey but lived in Florida for most of my life. So Florida is a right-to-work state, you know. Now, I've lived here for the past 5-6 years about, finished up some college here. So the concept of unions, okay, a union in and of itself is supposed to be a good thing. It's supposed to be able to protect workers because maybe a century ago it was the businesses who were taking advantage. But now we seem to see a swing in the other direction. So when we're sitting here talking about unions and the culture and everything like that, like when you're telling me that story, maybe a lot of people listening were like, yeah, no, I've seen that happen, or yeah, that sounds like what would... I'm sitting here with my eyes wide open.
Right. Well, there are certainly union contractors that we would still like to use. This is endorsed by the leadership. These are what I perceive as career protesters. I mean, these are individuals who are trying to make their way up, and that's the culture. They're trying to make a name for themselves in the trades. That was highlighted in the iron workers case. And brought forth in their testimony recently. But it's allowed. It's legal in the state of Pennsylvania right now. There was a case where I walked into a restaurant and the judge said, listen, it's legal. When an iron worker came up and pinned me against the counter and called me sexual slurs and yelled at me in front of a lot of patrons, and then later on, 2 hours later, made a hand gesture with his hand and a motion of a gun, pow, 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 or bang, bang, bang. These things in the courtroom were stated to be legal.
And we have protesters, okay, quote-unquote protesters, and this is all legal. We've got to head to a break. We've only got about a minute left, but... Rob, you were motioning. You wanted to show something in that.
Just
as
to
well.
Say that we likewise will use union subcontractors and open shop subcontractors. Many of the union contractors are upset about this, but it is a cultural that's accepted. It's accepted in the business community, the ownership community, the nonprofit community, and the political community, and that's where it's got to change in the future if we're going to have an impact. The good people can't remain silent. They can't allow this bullying to continue.
We find the same thing, that there are union contractors just as disgusted about this as we are.
Well, exactly. We got prefaces with there are good people in the unions out there, too. Mm-hmm. We're going to be back. Stay right there. We're going to be talking more about this topic on It's a New Day.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule, Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.
Trinity Associates Incorporated has been in the electrical power testing business for over 35 years. We've specialized in working for some of the biggest firms in Philadelphia, and indeed America. Not only do big firms appreciate our expertise because of their size, but they can compare us to our competitors. They appreciate our reasonable prices. In fact, many of the largest firms call us year after year for sometimes 35 years in a row. We can provide the same service for smaller firms, bringing the same expertise and reasonable prices. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated for your electrical power testing needs and a free quote. Not all electrical power testing firms are the same. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated at 610-876-6428. That's 610-876-6428. Visit their website at trinityassos.com. That's trinityassos.com.
Welcome back to the program. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. In studio with us, we've got quite the crew in studio with us this morning. We have Rob Reeves Jr., who's the owner and president of E. Allen Reeves, Inc., a Merit Shop construction firm based in Abington. We have Serena Rose, who's vice president of development with Post Brothers. We have Mary Tebow with Associated Builders and Contractors. And we have Bob Dick of the Commonwealth Foundation. And shortly on the phone, we're going to be having Representative Marsico joining us about a piece of legislation that he has been working on, all speaking to the topic of union intimidation. Now, Serena, we were talking with you, and you were telling me a story that I could not believe about, and this is where we're going to be going with this topic this morning. See, the biggest problem I guess I have with this personally is that these are neighbors doing this to each other. These are people that work with each other. And thank you both. You and Rob are both very brave for coming in and sharing your stories. Now, Rob, you, of course, with the iron workers' convictions, they were just that. They were convicted. You said how many pled guilty now?
11.
11 pled guilty. And that, again, putting people in harm's way. They burned a crane. They were, again, and this was actually at a church. They vandalized the property.
Right. And the entire case involved probably upwards of over 25 different episodes with a variety of companies, ours being one and Serena's being another one. So there are many other cases out there and many that aren't part of this particular case.
Right. And Serena, we were talking about some different things that happened with protesters. And when you think of a protester, someone who's peacefully demonstrating, apparently we've lost a little sight of what that means today. Okay, but protesters being violent, as you described, throwing elbows, okay, even pinning yourself up against, did you say it was a wall or some?
A counter.
And I am sitting here with my jaw to the floor, because you would, sure, there's a right to protest, but this is really what we're getting at here, this culture of union intimidation. Can you tell us a little bit more about that experience, which has not resulted in any kind of conviction, any kind of legal action, because of, and we're going to have Representative Marsico come in just a moment, because of the legality of it. They're completely, you had a judge tell you, it's completely legal.
That's correct. And the vast majority of the time, there are no attempts at prosecution. The DA's office will admit that they treat these cases differently. There were many attempts on our part to try to file police reports for violent acts against us, our men, our workers, rather, and to no avail. My case was an exception to that. We took it all the way to court, and that judge in that case let the iron worker in that case off. But that case was highlighted in the iron workers' RICO and racketeering, the cases that the FBI was highlighting also. So in that case, they were prosecuted for other crimes, organized crime. But on a daily basis, one would hope that it wouldn't get this far if they were prosecuted for the smaller offenses and it wouldn't get so violent. And that's what we're really trying to change. Legal protests are not something that, we're trying to affect with this law change. We're, they have a right to legally protest and have a difference of opinion. We want to change the culture of violence, which is propagated by allowing them to commit these acts that are illegal for everyone else.
It's also a culture of entitlement. This violence, bullying, threats, intimidation are part of their belief that they're entitled to be the best paid, highest paid people. That's the irony. These are the highest paid construction workers that are out trying to protect their elite status and create havoc. I think the overarching thing that I'd want to mention is this has a very de minimis effect, harm on the economic development in the whole Philadelphia region. The violence, the history, we could talk about really hurts the economy.
Well, we have with us on the phone right now, and Representative Marsico, are you there this morning?
Yes, I am. Good morning, and thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you on, sir. You are working on legislation and have worked on legislation, which will make, because a lot of these acts are legally condoned for unions, and that's the big kicker here, that you're actually working to rectify.
That's correct. Actually, this is the second time for this bill. It went, in fact, as chair of the House Judiciary Committee last session, we held a hearing on this bill and heard of all the issues and the intimidation by the unions and the actual many incidents that were brought before the committee. The bill was passed out of committee and then passed out of the House, mostly on a partisan vote. Went over to the Senate and never got through the finish line, And then just recently, as you pointed out, the bill was passed out of committee by the House then a few weeks ago. I think the vote was 109-84. Most Republicans voted for it, and then right now it's back over in the Senate.
Correct something for me. Why is it that split? Why is something like this that again is making acts of violence illegal? What's the argument?
It's mind-boggling that I don't know how you defend that vote, and how you defend these actions by not all unions, just a few unions over the years that have a few workers that have caused these problems. Incidentally, this bill, each of those criminal offenses that are now exempt will apply uniformly to everyone, to both labor and management. So everyone will live by the same rules, the same criminal law that everyone else lives by in Pennsylvania. It really is mind-boggling in that there's only a few states that even have something similar to this law that we're talking about.
And what I can't even imagine why the thing again that's mind-boggling to me is, you know, while this may only be happening from a few individuals or from a few unions, then there's a disconnect for me as to why the vote was even that close to begin with.
Well, it's Pennsylvania is a union state. There's no question about it. In fact, we even got some opposition letters prior to the vote from different organizations throughout Pennsylvania. And one we got I have in front of me here is from the PSEA. The Pennsylvania State Education Association, asking us to oppose House Bill 874. And there you go. I mean, unions across the Commonwealth have joined together to oppose this bill.
And this is, we're going to have to head to a break, Representative Marsico. We're going to continue the conversation with you and with Rob and with Serena, Barry, and Bob. We've got a lot of people here today, but we'll be back and continue this conversation. Don't go anywhere. My fiance, she teaches in the school. She's part of this union. She wouldn't stand for this at all. We're going to be back right after this. Good morning. It's a new day. 1180 WFYL's working for your liberty. We've got a number of different people joining us in studio this morning. We have Rob Reeves, Jr., owner and president of E. Allen Reeves, a merit shop construction firm based out of Abington. We've got Serena Rose, who's vice president of development for Post Brothers, Mary Tebow with the Associated Builders and Contractors, Bob Dick with the Commonwealth Foundation. And from Harrisburg, we have Representative Marsico doing his work up there in Harrisburg talking about union intimidation and House Bill 874, what exactly it does. Now, the unions surprisingly have come out against this. And they've come out against it because, and what we want to do is we want to show you what the bill does and what it doesn't do. It preserves rights. It allows for legal free protest. But Mary, you were going to tell us a little bit about that this morning. So tell us about what this bill does and doesn't do so that the listener knows.
Sure. And first, thank you to Representative Marsico for reintroducing this bill this legislative session. Unfortunately, it did not get signed into law during the last legislative session. This bill, currently in Pennsylvania's criminal code, there's a loophole in the law that allows for harassment, stalking, and threats of weapons of mass destruction to take place if you're involved in a labor dispute. Now, this could be on the union side or the open shop side. So, as Representative Marsico clarified, it's you know, management and the workers that this would apply to. So this would close this loophole so that you can be prosecuted for this activity. It doesn't change the right of free speech that unions, citizens have to picket, to express their opinion on a company through handbills, to put the rat up that the unions sometimes do outside a workplace with signage. It doesn't affect those rights. It simply closes the loophole for harassment, stalking, and threats of weapons of mass destruction, of some of which we've talked about this morning. And Representative Marsico mentioned that it essentially passed along party lines. There was a Democrat that voted for the bill, in favor of the bill, and unfortunately we had 6 or 7 Republicans that voted against the bill. I emailed each of these people expressing my either, you know, pleasure that they voted for it or that they voted against it, and asking why. And I had a response from a state rep here in Southeast Pennsylvania who said that he didn't see that it really affected any meaningful change. And we had a good conversation about that, and Serena Rose is actually following up with him and having a conversation with that. I think there's some confusion about the ironworkers who were convicted under the RICO case. This is a federal charge. The RICO is a federal charge, and this bill affects state law, so it's two different things. Some representatives have told me, well, you know, these guys are already prosecuted for this type of work. So I don't think we need an additional law, but this is a state law. The charges that we saw with the iron workers were federal charges.
This is despicable to me that there was a vote on party lines on this. Are you kidding me? Because I'm going to reiterate what you said of what this law does. It closes a loophole that allows right now union workers, okay, to threaten with weapons of mass destruction, which, Serena, you've said probably from personal experience, usually they'll say, will threaten to blow up your facility if you're a construction company. Stalking is another one. That this is part of the loophole. This is what this bill is going to do. It's going to close these loopholes. And these are the terms used: stalking and harassment. See, for you and me, all three of those are illegal. For union protesters, right now they're legal. And it's despicable to me that this was along party lines, because this is pretty cut and dry. And as you said, Mary, it's not going to inhibit anyone's right to protest at all. And this is going to apply not only to union workers, but managers as well, so that everyone's on the same page.
It's not only party lines, but it's ideological lines and political contributions. So the Republicans that are voting against this legislation are voting for the unions and for continuing this culture. And it's despicable that they're doing that on across both lines.
You know, Serena, there were some things that you were talking about that you've probably seen happen. And again, it's all legal at the hands of union protesters. Not everyone in the union is like this, but this is the culture. And it's so widespread that we have a vote along party lines on this bill to close off these despicable acts. That's what they are. Stalking, harassment, threatening with weapons of mass destruction. I mean, what are you were telling me off air some of the different things that you probably have witnessed.
Yes. So a typical thing that we experience, which we feel is egregious, would be following an executive home, profiling his wife with infant child, spitting on the wife as she's loading the infant into the car.
Have you seen that happen or had
we
that?
We have had multiple people in our company witness this, videotaping groups of multiple children of contractors of ours, of their wives, at sporting events, activities, all day long. They follow them, stuff like that. And when I talked about the weapons of mass destruction, the way that that works is they call multiple vendors, suppliers, of maybe it's cranes, concrete, or a hoist, a construction mechanism that you need to perform your work. And they'll call multiple companies before you even order them and tell them if they service your site that they'll blow their company, they'll blow their place of business up, or they'll have an implied threat. But once you do it multiple times, you know, it diminishes your resources.
And you're telling me it's legal to threaten, essentially, because you're essentially threatening to also even kill people. If you're going to blow up a facility, you don't know who's in there. Okay, I mean, that's Rob. You're kind of like, yeah.
The potential. The thing I was going to comment on. One threat has an impact on 10 or 100 people. So when we say it's not all unions, and not all unions are bad, not all people are good and bad throughout, but these threats have a multitude of impact way beyond one or two individuals.
Well, and that's exactly right. And you said to me before, Rob, on the air that, or off air, that if we let ourselves get intimidated, you know, it all takes is one person, like you said, to threaten, and that has a widespread effect.
Yeah, and the business community, the leadership, politically, business, and the nonprofits. We have some very large nonprofits in the universities and the healthcare systems that are all afraid. They don't want to take this issue on. They also have to get their approvals through public officials, through regulatory agencies. This is a widespread fear campaign to intimidate and to keep their market share of the top well-paid people. And just as a comment, most people probably don't know, in the United States, only 12% of the workers are unionized in the construction industry, and only probably 20% in the region.
So what that does is it limits your bidding pool, which increases the cost of construction. It doesn't improve the product that you're getting. It just reduces the amount of contractors you can go to. When people are busy, contractors are busy, that limits the amount of resources you have.
Bob, I want to hear your input. You're working with the Commonwealth Foundation in Harrisburg on bills like House Bill 874.
Right. And Michael, just to go back to Mary's point, I want to stress that this protects both management and union employees. So this is a pro-union bill. If management is, you know, coming down hard on union employees, this is going to protect them too. So the opposition to this really is disappointing, because this is actually going to help those who may be mistreated by management if you're a union employee. This is pro-union, and this is pro-worker justice.
And people need to understand that. They need to understand that these are universal. And these apply to everyone, and they should apply to everyone. if I even threatened to stalk or harass, I could be in trouble with the law for that. And this is a loophole that you would think everyone would agree on. But what it takes is one person to stand up. And Representative Marsco, we got about a minute left, but you've been standing up, and thank you for doing that, for fighting in Harrisburg against all the special interests and all of the back deals going on with these people who are at fault in these unions.
Well, let me just say that there is a tremendous amount of support for this legislation, especially from the business community, business industry, manufacturers association, the billers and contractors, and all of law enforcement, chiefs of police, the district attorneys, the sheriff's association. However, we have not heard from the state police. And that brings up a question on where the governor of Pennsylvania is on this issue. Where does Governor Wolf stand on this? If a bill was sent to him as is, passed in the Senate, would he sign it?
Well, and that's the question for the day. We've got to hit a break. We're going to come back, though. You stay right there. We're talking about union intimidation on It's a New Day. New Day, 1180 WFYO, working for your liberty. Mike Levins here, along with Rob Reeves, Jr., is the owner and president of E. Allen Reeves, Inc., Merritt Construction Firm. It's based in good old Abington, PA. We also have Serena Rose with us, vice president of development for Post Brothers, Mary Tebow with Associated Builders and Contractors, Bob Dick with the Commonwealth Foundation, and Representative Marsico in Harrisburg on the phone with us right now. Everyone, again, welcome, and we've got a full house in studio this morning, but this is an issue that deserves many different voices speaking about. It deserves it because this is an embedded cultural issue, unfortunately, here in Pennsylvania, and what this is all surrounding is House Bill 874. This is the epicenter of this right now because currently it is legal for union protesters to harass, stalk, and threaten with weapons of mass destruction and management as well. Now, this House bill, if passed, is going to make those things illegal, and that's going to apply to management and to, again, union protesters. Okay? Now, Representative Marsico, right now, this is going to go to the Senate. It passed the House. Mm-hmm. What is a tangible thing so people can call their senators, of course, and they need to. They need to voice their opinion and make it known.
I think it's very important that imperative that the listeners call their senators and don't expect them to vote for this. I mean, you need to be called, emailed, to encourage them to vote for House Bill 874 as is. And then I'm also to call the governor. The governor, of course, the bill is sent over to from the Senate as it is, goes right to the governor and ask him to support and sign the bill. That's an interesting question because we have not heard from the governor nor any of his top staff. They haven't chimed in, weighed in on this issue at all, which is surprising.
I would say probably the main thing motivating, and even the vote, it was split down party lines in the House, which is unthinkable, that would even occur. Again, because what it's going to be doing is making it illegal. And again, some of the acts that are permitted, harassment, stalking, and threatening with weapons of mass destruction, that's permitted right now among union protesters, and this bill is basically going to close that loophole to make that illegal. And the fact that the vote was even along party lines is despicable to me. But I would say that mostly, though, these even a Tom Wolf, and we don't know exactly where he stands, but those who are voting against a bill like this, it's probably most likely out of fear. I mean, that's what it would seem to be to me.
You know, what's interesting also is that there's like 46 or 47 other states, they don't have a problem with this. They don't have any state exemption. So those union states, Massachusetts, Ohio, Wisconsin, they don't have an exemption. And so there's 46 to 47 other states that, once again, don't have a problem with this. And they're covered by law.
Well, which is ridiculous. Rob, you looked like you wanted to chime in on that.
Well, I think the reason the Democrats don't vote for it is because it's their power base. The unions are their power base. And the Republicans that vote against it, they're afraid of getting challengers from the union, and they get money from the unions. So they don't want to rock the boat with having a tougher election. And they have come up with all kinds of excuses. To me, when you tell the truth, there's a simple answer that you tell. But when you talk to some of these Republicans that voted against it, they go on and on and on in round and round circles in their answers.
You know, I'm looking at some statistics on Pennsylvania. I'm looking particularly at religion in Pennsylvania. And 53% of Pennsylvania claims to be religious. Now, a large majority of that is Catholic. Smaller majorities go into, you know, Protestant. As a Christian, speaking to this, where is love your neighbor as yourself with some of these people who are committing these acts of intimidation? And that even Serena, you with me in studio right now, have been a victim of. And you as well, Rob, and the federal government had to get involved. The state government didn't. It was a federal case that got involved. Right. Where is that? Where are all these people who claim to be religious in our state speaking out against this? Love your neighbor as yourself. Something needs to be done. Something needs to be said, and it needs to be said loud. And hopefully this bill will do that. Now, Representative Marsico, you were saying Tom Wolf, he had not really offered any kind of input into the situation as of yet. Also said that you talked to the state police, or you were asking for a stance with the state police. And tell me a little bit about that.
Well, normally we, in these kind of situations, when we do a bill, we receive a pro or a con from different organizations, including law enforcement. It's important for us to hear from those groups. And so we asked for the state police for a position, and they refused to give a pro or an opposition to the bill. They said they remained neutral. Now, as you know, or may not know, the state police of Pennsylvania is under the jurisdiction of the governor, and the state police commissioner is appointed by the governor. So that leads me to believe that the governor is not taking a position at this point, and that I think we can certainly have a meeting with him and ask him to support the bill, but as of yet, there's been no contact at all from the governor nor his administration.
And the governor can't sit this one out forever. If he really wants to be known as a leader, he's going to have to let his voice be heard one way or the other. You would think that, again, this would be pretty cut and dry, as we've been talking about here, because this culture of union intimidation, see, in my mind, you could legislate all you want. You could change and honestly, any government, the laws are you could say they're even imposed, and that could be a good imposition, because you don't want people to run around in lawlessness. But you're never going to get people to abide by the laws without getting the people's hearts and minds. If you don't do that, then eventually people will rebel against legislation. We're seeing that in a lot of ways in our nation today, especially with all the different things that are happening around in our cities and the nation, protests and so on and so forth. The hearts and minds of the people have to be changed, and they have to be changed. Otherwise, we're not going to see any kind of real real feet put to this, even if it does get passed. It's really a cultural shift we're talking about here.
Yeah, I think that this bullying really is rooted in fear, and the basis of it is power and money.
Mary, I want to go to you. Do you have the last word? We've got about a minute before we have to close out the program this morning. Give you the last word.
Thank you. You know, from an industry business perspective, we see this as a safety issue. Closing this loophole is a safety issue, and Representative Marsico shared that the PSAE is sent a letter to legislators asking that they vote against us, against the bill. And that shocks me. The schools do not want bullying in the schools. Why should we allow bullying in the workplace? It comes down to safety and common sense.
Remember, with all these things, thank you, everyone, for joining us on the air. Rob Reeves, who is owner and president of E. Allen Reeves, Inc., Serena Rose, vice president of development for Post Brothers, Mary Tebow, Bob Dick, and Representative Marsico, thank you so much for joining us. Remember, with all these things, Jesus Christ is Lord. We'll see you next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 7 to 9, on It's a New Day.